Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Good morning, Mr. Schwani. Are you still around? Oh, I don't know that he is. I meant to tell Mr. Schwani a couple of things, and I just forgot to do it. Oh, no. Oh, no. Good morning, 635 on WGN Radio. I am Steve Dale. This is Steve Dale's Pet World. So I did a blog post. Sometimes, Mr. Schwani, you're back?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. This is... It's not even worth you coming back for, but I think it is. It is the most exciting thing that you've ever heard, ever,
on the radio. I'm waiting with bated breath. You told me this 25 minutes ago, and I can't stand the tension.
Yes, what I told you is I've got something exciting. Well, this has never happened to me before. So this shift, I've been at this radio station, I think, 22 years or something like that. This shift, maybe 6 years, 8 years, I don't know. This is the first time ever, Mr. Schwani. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
That I've had green lights coming all the way in. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, considering that no matter how I try to time the lights on my trip in, it never works out.
Yeah, so. I didn't try to time anything.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. I knew you'd be very happy, Mr. Schwani.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, this is the most exciting thing ever. Not so exciting. I talked about this on the show and had a dog trainer on the radio show who was involved in all of this. I don't know. I think it was 2 weeks ago. It was after a fire tragically killed 30 dogs in West Chicago and had him on the radio. I didn't know for sure. I announced he was going to be on the radio. And then I did receive notes on social media as well as emails saying, you know, this guy is not the best dog trainer. He has saved dogs. Yes. And that was his job, or part of his job. So part of his job was to board dogs and train them. That was a part of his job. A part of his job was to take dogs as a sort of a bottom of the ninth, two outs, and that was it. I mean, this was the last resort dog trainer for dogs that were considered unadoptable at various shelters and rescues around Chicago. And they certainly supported him. So I didn't know who to believe. Do I believe these shelters and rescues who say, this guy's a hero? Or others who say, not such a hero because of the way he trains dogs? I don't know the answer to that. Here's what I do know. 30 dogs passed away. That's unfathomable, right? Including his own family pets, which I believe is a tragedy. He lost everything he owned. That is a tragedy, and I still say that. What I'm more interested in, because, you know, I'm not a fire inspector. There were concerns about how the fire began or whatever. I don't know. You know, I can't stand here and discern that. I also can't attack someone I've never seen train. I wouldn't be interested in doing that. I hope, you know, he denied it. I asked him about it on the air. And, you know, I believe him. But actually, or not, I don't know. But it brought up another topic. In my head, dog trainer Julie Dorsey Oreskeka brought that up for me, actually, without meaning to. And that is, you know, I talk about this fear-free initiative all the time. I'm all over the country, all over the world, talking about how it is best now. Veterinarians, and I'll circle back to what I'm talking about, I promise. Veterinarians had been taught historically, just get it done. So if it takes five people to hold down a dog to get a blood draw, you know, to get blood from a dog, so be it. It takes five people working as hard as they can, not necessarily thinking about the dog's emotional feelings at that time, just getting it done. And indeed, you do get it done. And maybe by getting that dog's blood, you find out something and end up saving that dog's life. Are there better ways to do it? And I think the same thing about dog training. So historically, those trainers in the very unique position of taking dogs from rescues and shelters where that's it. If this trainer does not take that dog's future life is absolutely in question. So for those trainers that have to work against the clock on lots of different ends here, they've got to do this. Oftentimes the dogs are still at a shelter or rescue and the clock is ticking. Also, their clock is ticking because they don't get paid a lot of money for doing it. So they have to work with as many dogs as possible to make a living, all of which I understand. But clock ticking or not, is it an excuse anymore to just get it done? We need to use methods, positive reinforcement methods, consistent with fear-free. Now, that's not all dog trainers, for sure. But I think the majority of them around America, this isn't a Chicago issue necessarily, that have the unique opportunity to save a life. The other factor is, and I'm curious about what your comments are about all this, the other factor is you can't save them all, in my opinion. I know there are many out there who disagree with that, but there are some dogs that I don't believe are rehabbable. It's dangerous to put them back into the community. And others will say, well, we have to choose the right homes, yes. We have to adjust our expectations for some dogs, absolutely. However, there are some dogs, it's not the trainer's fault, it's not anyone's fault. It's a combination of a lack of socialization, fear, and genetics. But for whatever reasons, these dogs just can't be rehomed or put into a home. And I think it would be just too dangerous to say so and to assume every dog can be. So I address that, and I address my idea that dog trainers need to use this sort of fear-free approach that's caught on hugely in veterinary medicine among veterinary nurses and technicians and veterinarians to do things that they do considering emotional well-being of the animal and not just to get it done. And when you're just getting it done, are you intimidating the dog or are you really teaching the dog? 312-981-7200, that's my phone number. You can text me as some of you have begun to do. 312-981-7200. We were supposed to have on the show Susana Mendoza, who is running for mayor of the city of Chicago. I don't know what the deal is, but she's not there. We said, you know, we could talk to you by phone. You don't need to come in. But it's early. I understand we're going to try to reach her again. But in the meantime, we'll talk about this. I have other things to talk about as well, including exciting news about today. Today, there's a big game. Have you heard about it? It's called the Puppy Bowl. It's on Animal Planet. No, there's another big game. Yet another choice. And that other big game is on the Hallmark Channel, and it's called the Kitten Bowl. Well, when you talk about alternative programming, I think they do pretty well by that. Steve, e-collar training, when done correctly, is not cruel, and that's the key. I was told to put my dog down 3 months ago by a trainer who works for the city of Chicago assessing dogs. So how many dogs died at the hands of her because of positive training methods? I don't think too many. I found an amazing trainer, and we decided to use an e-collar. By the way, that's a collar that delivers a shock, literally, to a dog. Today, he is 9 and an amazing dog. Well, Lori, if it worked for you and your dog, and you have no problem, I suppose, okay. Having said that, is that the right thing to do? Is that the right thing to do? And I say no when we know better. And, you know, everyone has their individual line that they draw. So I can accept prong collars. Those are the collars that look like the cartoon dogs that have those spikes that kind of go in. I can accept that for a short time for trainers to adjust what they need to do. But, you know, you have to build trust with these dogs. And I don't know how you do that with an e-collar. I suppose if you have a dog trainer, I'm going to be yelled at for this, but I suppose if you have a dog trainer who knows what he or she is doing, again, for a short period of time, maybe, to get the dog's attention in a way you couldn't otherwise. But overall, I am absolutely no fan of e-collars. As I say, if it worked for you, fine. 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. Several texts here saying, and I have, because I could see my phone, some notes saying, essentially, Steve, I agree with you, and thank you for speaking up for positive reinforcement dog training. So what about those 30 dogs that died? It's unfortunate that we don't have Susana Mendoza on the phone, because I have an idea that we wanted to do statewide, but maybe even sooner than that, I was hoping she'd hear me talk about it and say, you know what? This makes sense. Maybe we can do it in the city of Chicago, and maybe we can still get her on the phone. We'll still try. It is 14 minutes before 7 o'clock. Good morning. This is WGN. WGN Radio, Steve Dale's Pet World, 312-981-7200. Still trying to get a hold of Susana Mendoza. I mean, I don't know what's happening. I understand it is early in the morning, but it's not that early anymore, 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. And you, David, are on the radio. Good morning.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I have a cat that's about 15 years old. I got it from my neighbor. She passed away. And I told her I'd take care of her cat for her when she's gone. And I had it for about 2 years. It's got a litter box. It'll pee in it, but it won't make number two in the litter box. It'll go in the bathroom next to the box, but it will not go in the box to do her duty. But I was wondering if you had any ideas how I could get her to do her stuff in the box.
Sure. I do, actually. Do you happen to know what the litter box setup is for? And by the way, thank you for taking this cat. I mean, that's wonderful of you to do. Do you know what the litter box setup was for her?
What's that again?
What the litter box setup was for the previous owner.
It's the same box that she had.
Good, okay.
When she went over there, it's the same box.
Okay.
It's in the cat litter, everything.
Okay, so here's what I would do. Some cats spontaneously, for reasons that cats can only tell me, decide that after 5 years or 10 years or even 15 years that, you know what, I want to have two boxes. One to do number one, and one to do number two. I don't know why. So advice is to scoop regularly, I mean every single day, so that box is pristine, even twice a day, and put another box near where the bathtub is. And hopefully she will choose that box rather than a bathtub.
Well,
if she chooses,
I bought another box,
yes.
Put it on the other side of the toilet, and I put some of her poop droppings into that box, and I put her in there and tell her this is where you do your duty at. She just jumped out of it and took off. So and it sat there for about a week, and she never used it. So I just got rid of that box then.
Try putting it in the toilet, in the bathtub.
What that?
Put it in the bathtub. You know, she's been going in the bathtub. So make sure it's an uncovered box.
Okay.
And as you know, you have an older cat. So the good news is this cat can somehow have the agility, even at that age, apparently, to jump into the bathtub. But we still want to make it easy to get into the box so the box doesn't have a large step that goes into it. So the flatter the box, the larger the box, the better. Put that box into the bathtub. See if she'll use it that way.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. I don't want to take a bath in your house, though. Our phone number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You could text or call at that number. And we do have some text here. Steve, I appreciate what you're saying about dog training. Positive reinforcement dog training is where it's at in 2019. Of course, I agree with that, and that's what the fear-free approach is all about. And dog trainers, like veterinarians, have been certified now for a couple of years as being fear-free. Dog trainers can now be certified as fear-free as well, and that really is happening. So what about those 30 dogs that perished? I can't comment on the conditions of the boarding facility, or that there were too many, or there weren't too many dogs there, or the Department of Agriculture's comments on all that. you know what? I just don't want to comment on that publicly. As I said earlier, I'm not a fire inspector. It's not my expertise. All I know is it's a tragedy, and I don't want it to happen again. So I'm thinking we can do some things by changing laws, adjusting laws, so it won't happen again. We can actually do, and I've got some things in mind. I'm talking to some folks about it, maybe to add on to or change state law. And I think it could and will happen. You're going to hear more about that in the upcoming weeks. And, you know, when I'm interviewed about, okay, Steve, why do you do a radio show? I mean, it's about answering questions like I just did to help people. Well, that's number one. And number two, it's to make a difference. And I have a platform here, and I hopefully use it to make that difference. Last week on the show, we had all of these cat people in the studio. Dr. Elizabeth Colloran came in from California and said, you know, I lived in the Midwest, yet I've never been so cold in my life. The reason why these cat people came in wasn't to experience Chicago weather so much. It was to attend an event at the Windy Kitty Cat Cafe, which is exactly that. It's the Chicago's Cat Cafe. It's on North Avenue in Chicago. And we celebrated the opening of a kitten nursery. Woo! And Dr. Colloran and I spoke about cats. If you go to my Facebook page, you can, my Facebook fan page, and scroll down a little bit, or check out my blog at stevedale.tv. You can find a story about it, but also a link to what we did live, and you can actually watch it. Speaking of which, a story about my opinions about dog training methods that I've been talking about, that is also at stevedale.tv. Steve, this is another text. I've been listening to you for years, but I can't stand the puppy bowl and the TV commercials that go along with it. I don't know how people can watch. The truth is that I can't comment on that. I need you to do that. I've seen little bits and pieces of the puppy bowl, and I've seen like YouTube videos that show pieces of it, and it seems fun, I suppose. But I'm watching a football game, so I don't necessarily, I'm being honest with you. So I don't necessarily, I've not seen it. The Kitten Bowl, this might be the first year of the Kitten Bowl. Puppy Bowl on Animal Planet. The Kitten Bowl is on the Hallmark Channel. Susana Mendoza, who was supposed to be on this show, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN, I would have talked to about what she did regarding pet stores, which was wonderful. She was the force behind saying, you know, no dogs and cats can be sold at pet stores in Chicago. Is that really happening, though? What's the reality of that? And I wanted to talk to her about all that, but I don't know where she is. Not answering the phone. But as happens at the end of the show, we have lots of calls and texts to get to. I will. Pets aren't like family. They are family. That's why doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always there when your pets need them the most. They're located at the corner of Belmont Western and Clybourne. MedVet provides emergency specialty and critical care 24/7 every day of the year. That's the whole idea. You know what? They have specialists. You name the specialty in veterinary medicine, and they probably have a person who does that at MedVet Chicago, and it's all under one roof. Two, if you include the cancer center across the street, and how important is that we have that? The good news, our pets are living longer than ever before, but with that, we see more cancers than ever before. It's never good news when you hear that diagnosis, of course, but many cancers can be treated. Anyway, more information, 773-281-7110, 773-281-7110, or learn more at medvet4pets.com. Oh, gosh, what do I do first? How about the phones? 312-981-7200, and you, in fact, are on the radio, Bob. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm going to be getting a puppy very soon.
Yay!
And I was wondering about regular dog food versus the grain-free dog food.
So that's a long question to answer in a sense. There are some current, it's a good question though. There are concerns, first of all, talk to your veterinarian But I suppose also consider my answer, but your veterinarian knows you and knows your pet. The concerns we have about grain-free are relatively new, and we're seeing a kind of heart disease called dilated cardiomyopathy in breeds and dogs, and sometimes cats, that we previously hadn't seen ever before, if not for a very long time. It seems to be associated with grain-free diets. Also, grain-free diets in many cases that specifically have a protein source that's unusual, like venison, perhaps, or kangaroo meat or something like that. But at the end of the day, I have two ideas for you. One, pet foodology. That's Tufts Veterinary Nutritionist website. They have a great story about this. But also talk to your veterinarian, as I said. And congratulations about the puppy.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. I lost mine in May, and I want another dog, but I'm also having second thoughts. It's very difficult.
Well, you know, puppies are challenging. They're fun, but they're a lot of work. So there's nothing wrong with adopting an adult dog as well. And again, as far as grain-free goes, there's no substantial evidence that it's beneficial for pets. It was kind of a marketing thing. Up till now, there was no evidence that it was a bad thing for pets either. But ultimately, that's a decision, of course, that you'll have to make. Several texts, one about feeding cats. Once a day, and they have overweight cats, from Sandy in Woodstock. There's a great handout about this at, what is it, Cat Vets. It's the American Association of Feline Practitioners, and it's, oh, gosh, I can't think of the website, but that's American Association of Feline Practitioners. You can find it. And the handout is about, so many of us talk about what to feed our cats. It's really how we feed our cats that's important. Consider the size of their tummies, which is really small. They're meant to take in a mouse, not a giant helping of food once a day. So feeding them two or better, three or four times or five times a day is ideal.